T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Rumors afloating about franchise quarterbacks, but Peter, we're just talking about Nick Saban in Alabama. Devontae Smith had one of the greatest walk-off performances I think we've ever seen from a college kid in his last game. He should have declared for the draft at halftime, for goodness sake. What did you think of Alabama rolling the Tide out last night?
You know, it really wasn't that much of a surprise, especially because, you know, it didn't look like Justin Fields was what Justin Fields had been against Clemson, but I don't think it really would have mattered. I think the general feeling now, you know, like you guys say, is that it's Nick Saban's world in college football, and everybody is living in it. It's really so interesting when you think about it. Now, I've been talking to people about this today, that it's so interesting that who is the guy who had the last, well, Chip Kelly did have the chance too, but who's the guy who everybody thought was an absolutely can't-miss pro coach? It was Nick Saban in 2005. After 2 years, he goes 15-17, cannot get the quarterback he wants, and he asked Wayne Huizenga, who gave him the keys to the castle, do whatever you want for the next 5 years. After 2 years, he asks out, and he goes and coaches Alabama. He's where he belongs, but now, with what Jacksonville is doing in fully investigating and apparently having Urban Meyer as the leader in the clubhouse to take that team, he reminds me a lot, really, of Nick Saban, a guy who never loses. The only difference is Urban Meyer, at age 45, 46, and 54, quit his job in college football. And in part because of health reasons, and who knows why else. But honestly, I think Urban Meyer, who has been a great program builder, he's got a little bit of Harbaugh in him. And I mean Jim Harbaugh. And I would not hand keys to the castle to Urban Meyer. Unless, and this is a significant unless, they've done an incredible amount of work and are absolutely sure that he's going to be in for at least 4 years of the rebuild, because this is a team that has lost 75% of its games the last 3 years. So I look at it and basically say, unless I would stake my ownership and my reputation, you know, on the fact that we're going to have this guy for a while, if I were Shad Khan, I would look for somebody else.
Peter, obviously we got a lot of football from last weekend coming up next weekend to talk about, but we must start with Deshaun Watson, who went from rumor to rumor with legs to apparently working a campaign through former Houston Texans lobbying for him to get out of Houston. This thing escalated quickly, shall we say, and obviously 49er fans are very, very interested in this rumor growing into an actual story. What can you tell us about the disintegration of Deshaun Watson in Houston?
I mean, I'm probably going to disappoint you. I don't put a lot of stock in it right now. It's clear that Deshaun Watson is burning angry. There's no question about it. But look, nothing has to happen for the next 3.5 months. You know, the Houston Texans do not have to do a thing, theoretically, until the weekend of April 29. or April 30, which is the Friday, but the Thursday is April 29. That's the first day of the draft. And so we now have we have 3.5 months before the Houston Texans have to do anything. Nick Caserio's been on the job for 15 minutes. I mean, he's the one who has to pick a coach along with Cal McNair. He's the one who's got to pick a coach. And that coach and Nick Caserio at some point have to fly somewhere and sit socially distanced apart from Deshaun Watson and hear him out and try to convince him that all is not lost and we're going to build a winner. And again, I'm not criticizing anybody for doing his job. I'm not criticizing anybody for any opinion that he or she has on this story. All I'm saying is that this is a barn fire right now that, in my opinion, should be just left to burn. And then when it's done, we'll take away, we'll clean up, and then we will reconstruct it. And there's no need for anybody to go crazy right now. That's how I feel about it. And I don't think if I had $100 to bet right now in Vegas and you asked me, what is Deshaun Watson's team in 2021? I would say the Houston Texans.
There are disturbing reports out of New York suggesting that Robert Saleh is going to be flown in for a second interview. If you could catch him at the airport, would you wave him off?
Oh, you know, look, I have great, great respect for Joe Douglas, the GM of the Jets. I have zero respect for either of the Johnsons, either the owner or the owner in waiting or whatever they call themselves right now. I'm not trying to ridicule them, but the Johnson ownership is a disaster. But my information is that Joe Douglas is leading the parade on this, and he's the guy, because he's the guy who's going to have to rebuild with a head coach of the New York Jets. And so this is all about what Joe Douglas wants. It's not about what Christopher or Woody Johnson wants. They're going to have to sign off on it, but I'm going to tell you a story, right? 2 years ago, when the New York Jets did not have a head coach, it came down to two people. It came down to Adam Gase and Matt Rhule, the coach at Baylor. At the time, America really didn't know Matt Rhule. They had heard of him. And obviously, you turn Temple around. That's interesting. You turn Baylor around after the disaster that it was at Baylor. That's interesting, too. But did anybody in New York really want Matt Rhule? Were they crying for Matt Rhule or clamoring for Matt Rhule? No. But Christopher Johnson and at the time, the current general manager, Mike McCagnan, flew to Waco, Texas. They went into Matt Rhule's house, and they had dinner and had a long conversation with Matt and with his wife. Christopher Johnson talked about great restaurants in New York and where they could live and all that stuff. And they were thinking very seriously of hiring Matt Rhule. But my understanding of this is they ended up going with Adam Gase in large part because of a very persuasive phone conversation with Peyton Manning, who said this guy is going to be one of the next great coaches in the NFL. They hire Adam Gase. Their team is a dumpster fire for every bit of 2 years. And at the end of this two-year period, where are they? You think they wish they hired Matt Rhule now? I do. And just to put a little bow on that, they have basically internally said that we are going to listen to Joe Douglas because the last time we did what we wanted to do. Joe Douglas does not give two craps if Peyton Manning or the Pope calls with some recommendation. He'll take it, but it's going to be his decision. He's not going to be bowled over by star power. So all I can say is this is a different team than the team that hired Adam Gase 2 years ago.
All right. Maybe this is apropos of nothing, but with all the quarterback talk around Deshaun Watson and some of the incredible young quarterbacks we've seen in the playoffs, I'm curious, if I gave you your option of any of the under 30 quarterbacks in the league, with the exception of Patrick Mahomes, who would be your first choice?
I'll even slip it in for you, Matt. That's a good question.
It's an excellent question. That is an excellent, excellent question. And I think I would say Deshaun Watson. Although there's a couple that would really, really tempt me. Josh Allen would tempt me. I have totally fallen for Josh Allen this year. And, you know, maybe a surprise maybe there'd be a surprise. I'd really be interested in Joe Burrow. I think Joe Burrow is going to be a megastar in the NFL. I just think he's going to be absolutely special. So, and I would consider Lamar Jackson, but my problem with Lamar Jackson is, and I think he is playing exactly the way he should play, that if I'm building for the very long-term future, in my opinion, I think that Lamar Jackson is probably not going to play quite as long as Deshaun Watson or Josh Allen, because I just think he puts himself in harm's way too much. Having said that, I think he should put himself in harm's way. It's what makes him absolutely great. And if his career is 11 years instead of 15, that's absolutely fine with me, because it will be 11 incredible years.
Going to burn out bright like a shooting star. That's the way to go.
Right.
Peter
right.
Peter King here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, a lot of people thought that Carson Wentz was a shooting star, and then that star ran into just all sorts of trouble this year. Doug Peterson has been brought to bear and terminated. I don't know if it's fair or foul, but it feels like that is a tough job. The Eagles' job, it's insane local pressure. You got a very talented but yet broken quarterback. You have a quarterback controversy on day one in a divided locker room. That ain't easy fixing over there.
Yeah, I very well could be wrong about this. Really, I might be wrong about this, but in my opinion, I think Doug Peterson would probably be the coach of the Philadelphia Eagles today if he didn't pull that stunt with Nate Sudfeld in week 17. You don't mess with winning and losing games. I don't care if you're 4-11 or whatever your record is, whatever they were at the time, 4-10-1, I think. You don't mess with taking out your starting quarterback in a game to get your third string quarterback, who the head coach simply was doing a solid for. That's it. Doing a solid for Nate Sudfeld. He never gets to play. This game doesn't mean anything to us. We're playing Nate Sudfeld. No. You don't play like that. You don't screw with the honor system that coaches, clearly the unofficial honor system that coaches must have. This, to me, is like, you know, the honor system among pitchers. You know, if you hit two of ours, you better expect us to hit two of yours. And my feeling is Doug Peterson just said to the New York Giants, you know, I really, and he didn't mean to do this. I know he didn't mean to do this, because this is not who he is at all. But I think he just said to the New York Giants, you know, I don't care about you guys. I only care about our team. And if you were in the same situation, do whatever you want to do. But as Joe Judge, the Giants coach, said the next day, we would never do that in a million years. Nor would, in my opinion, any other coach in the NFL in that situation. It was a stupid move. I think he lost a lot of respect in his organization when he did that. The larger thing is, when I walked out of Minneapolis after they beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl, And they had a brilliant coaching staff, a brilliant young coaching staff, particularly on offense. When I walked out of there, I said, man, they get Carson Wentz back. This is going to be a great team for the next 10 years. They had a gutsy, imaginative coach. He wasn't afraid of making the bold call. I mean, 35 months later, Carson Wentz wants out. They're 4 under .500 since the day of the Super Bowl. Frank Reich is gone, incredibly valuable guy. Receivers coach Mike Groh is gone, forced out against Doug Peterson's wishes, and now Doug Peterson is gone. It's a total mess, and they deserve what they got.
Are you surprised that the Chicago Bears have remained on radio silence since Sunday? And I know that this is one that Damon or Matt should ask you, but it strikes me that they've gotten as much out of a dysfunctional situation as they have any right to, and that the time has come to basically bulldoze the place, and yet there are no noises from anywhere in Chicago. Does that surprise you, or is it who they are?
I mean, if you don't know what you're doing, why would you step out in front of the cameras and say, we don't know what we're doing right now. Hang on, we'll get back to you in a week. I mean, Ray, I'm just going to tell you my opinion of a lot of things just like that, okay? I think because we have 9 million people who cover the NFL right now, it's the most popular sport in the United States. Nothing is close for second. And because it's so popular and because so many people cover it year-round, you know, I covered the Cincinnati Bengals. That was my first beat job. It was in 1984. Did you know that on several weekends in 1984, on Friday night, I would cover a high school football game for the Cincinnati Inquirer? And in the off season, I would write a TV radio sports column. It was not a full-time job. And I was the only one at the paper, you know, a good American city newspaper who covered the Bengals. So now what do you have? Okay, the world has changed media-wise. That was 36 years ago, 37 years ago. The world has changed, but now let's just take, you know, let's look at Indianapolis, okay? The Indianapolis Star covers the living crap out of the Colts. I think they have two beat people year-round. I'm not positive, but I think that's the case. The Athletic has two full-time Colts beat writers. The columnist for The Athletic in Indiana, Bob Kravitz, who I'm sure you know. Bob Kravitz writes 60% of all of his columns, I bet, on the Colts. So that's just one team. And there is so much media that covers the NFL right now that, as in the case of Deshaun Watson, hey, he's pissed off. Well, let's wait 3.5 months and see what happens. And I'm not saying you should wait and not cover it and not report it. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that, you know, maybe we should just let things happen. And maybe we should just simply wait until something does happen with the Chicago Bears. Because saying nothing for 48 hours after an absolutely embarrassing performance probably means something. And if you want to read the tea leaves, it probably means that one or both of Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy is going to get fired. And so, but, I mean, if I were the upper echelon of the Chicago Bears led by Ted Phillips and the McCaskey family, the owners, I would think long and hard about what I want to do. And I would allow the Chicago Tribune and the Chicago Sun-Times and all the local beat writers to beat us up for not saying anything. We're not ready to say anything. And when we are, we'll say something.
After what we watched this weekend, I'm assuming no inside info here, but do you think Ben Roethlisberger is done?
That is a great question. You know what is so interesting? You know, just think how laughable 6 weeks ago, it would have been if we were talking about, boy, Ben Roethlisberger better retire. And, you know, there's legitimately loud, more than talk show voices in Pittsburgh saying we've had enough of Mike Tomlin. They went from 11-0 to 1-5 since to be totally embarrassed in a playoff game with a gigantic national audience, and to lose to a team that they had a 17-game home winning streak against, playing without their head coach, playing without their best offensive lineman, and playing a team that I'm not saying should have wiped the floor with them, but as the results of this year showed, you know, clearly the Steelers, this is a game they should have won, and they didn't. But one thing about Roethlisberger that I think is really interesting, if you watch how he plays football, doesn't he look sort of like Billy Kilmer? And that is a name really from the past. That's when I was young, okay? So a lot of people are not going to know him. Google, everybody go and Google Billy Kilmer right now. And Google a full-body picture of Billy Kilmer. The guy was a potbelly, okay? And what do you see when you see Ben Roethlisberger right now? You see a guy who still is capable of shredding a defense. But you see a guy who's a statue, and it looks like he's carrying 20 pounds he doesn't need. If I were Mike Tomlin, the thing I would say to Ben Roethlisberger this offseason, hey, you know, we'd like to have you back, but I want a commitment that you're going to be more than a statue who's, you know, who ought to weigh 25 pounds less and who ought to be a little more nimble in the pocket.
His face looks like it's stuffed in the helmet.
Not willing to do it. If I'm the Steelers, I give him a gold watch. And, you know, the cap hit would be ugly. I'm trying to remember what it is, but I looked at it a couple of weeks ago. Cap hit would be ugly, but, you know, nobody, the New England Patriots this year proved that you do not win games because you have been great. You win games only because you are great and will continue to be great. And I feel, you know, I watched that game the other night thinking to myself that the Pittsburgh defense is a little bit overrated, and the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers is careless with the ball, and that was a shocking performance, I thought, by the Steelers.
Hey, you're either getting better or you're getting worse. There is no staying the same. Peter, we got to run here in just a moment. We're at the end. If you could, though, real quick, Seattle started off red hot. MVP conversation for Russ is where he spent the first 10, 12 weeks of the year. It gets to December, and he turns into just another quarterback. What happened?
You know, I think what happened as I watched them quite a bit down the stretch is that, you know, I think as great a job as John Schneider has done, just like Bill Belichick's Achilles heel has been the wide receiver position, John Schneider's Achilles heel has been the offensive line. They stink. They stink bad. And I understand that everybody wants to blame Russell Wilson. I have not seen it, so I don't know. I'd love to see the Pro Football Focus stats, comparative stats with Russell Wilson on quarterback sacks, hits, and pressures. I will be shocked if he's not in the top three. And so my only thing that I would say is, let's concentrate, if you're Seattle, let's concentrate on building an offensive line that can allow Russ to cook before saying that this is all Russell Wilson's fault.
Fair enough. And by the way, the cap hit for Big Ben, $41 million. That's a big number.
Well, what would be the cap hit if they got rid of him? That's the question.
I think it's 20 if they cut him.
It's 22, it's 22 if it's done before June 1st.
Yeah, the question is, if you cut him on, they would almost certainly cut him on June 2nd or trade him on June 2nd or whatever. And if that happens, then you can push off a lot of the cap hit until 2022. But anyway, that is not the Steelers' way. The Steelers' way is the human way. The problem is, I might be in the minority, but Bud Dupree is a free agent. He was having a great year before he got hurt, I think, in week 11. I would want Bud Dupree to be back and to have him and T.J. Watt as my stereo rushers for the next 5 years. And if it's going to cost me the ability to have Ben Roethlisberger, I'm willing to take my chances because, if anything, Roethlisberger's got one more year. And do you really think that in 2022, what you saw of the Steelers, that they're a real serious Super Bowl contender? I don't see it. Not when you go 1-5 down the stretch and you finish the season totally on fumes.
Peter King, you're the man. Thank you so much. Always appreciate your time.
Okay, guys, it's been great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Peter King here on 95.7 The Game. By the way, we're brought to you by Fremont Bank, full-service banking, no compromises. Our Exergen temperature check tells us that it is drizzling at 57 in Oakland. Stick around because Steph Curry is going to play basketball tonight, but a key piece of the Golden State Warriors will not. We'll tell you who that is next here. Damon Radowinkolsky, 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.